It's a question that a lot of churches don't have services, and the question I get asked is, Pastor, why do we have a service for Thanksgiving? And the reason I hope you know by now, after what we've sung, after what I've said, is that it's time for us to just pause and say thanks to God, knowing that everything that we have is from Him. And so this evening, I pray that you have a blessed Thanksgiving. And I pray that we gather this evening in God's house to give thanks to Him for all that He has done for us, everything that He's done for us. See, the day of Thanksgiving is filled with many traditions. Most of us know this, right? One of them is travel. Thank God you're not on Highway 10 right now, right? Or in LA, fighting the traffic that you see on TV there. People fly, they drive, and they gather. But the purpose of all of that travel is so that people can come together. Come together as a family, with friends as well, and celebrate this national holiday of Thanksgiving. You know, I heard today that this is the busiest travel day of the year. Busier than Christmas or anything else is what they said today, and I was sort of shocked by that. But people are going everywhere and traveling all kinds of places to gather as a family, and I can't think that there's any other place that we should gather as a family than right here in God's house as God's family. We need to take the time to do that as God's family and share this time together. But most importantly, people desire to give thanks. And so tonight, we will have a very specific purpose for being here, and that is to give thanks. Our theme is based on the explanation that Luther gives us in the second commandment. There he gives us and he points out the improper and the sinful ways that you use God's name. But Luther also goes on and he provides for us the proper use of the holy name of God. And what he says that proper use is to pray, praise, and give thanks. And so this evening, that's exactly what we will do. See, 1 Timothy chapter 2, these words that we are given because of Paul and what he writes, he urges us to pray. He says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all the people. See, the apostle strongly urges that prayer in the life of the first century church was important. But he also, those words, because this is God's word for all centuries, is true for us today as well. That he also urges us as worshipers of Jesus to come together and pray today as well. And we need that. We need to pray for ourselves, we need to pray for others, and we need to offer intercessions for what we see happening in this world today. But most of all, we need to pray to God and give thanks. Not just for the things that we need, but thanks for the things that he's already given us. See, we come together and we say, give thanks because of all that the Lord has done for us. That is the purpose of tonight. To pray, to praise, and to give thanks. Then the foundation of our prayer, the foundation of this thanks is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. That today we give thanks, not like everyone else in this world, though. We give thanks that is something far beyond Thanksgiving Day. The news media at this time will always gather, and you'll see little kids or children or other people talking about the things that they're thankful for. If you've seen that already, you probably have. It's all over the TV. But because of Christ, our life and the source of all of our blessings are different. We can give thanks in a very sort of distinct and a specific way. We could say that we are compelled to give thanks because of the mercy that Jesus Christ has shown to us. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be a very dreary evening and day tomorrow. Not because of the rain. Okay? But because without Jesus, the food, the gathering, the friends, the football game, all the turkey that we ate, all of that, the smattering general generic thanks that people give, all of that would really mean not too much without Jesus. Because Jesus changes everything for us. He was willing to give himself in death on the cross for us. He was willing to do that for us when we had no hope in this world. By nature, we are separated from God without hope at all. By nature, we had nowhere to go. And because of our sinful condition, we were destined to an eternity in a place that none of us want to be. But God saw something different for us. He sent Jesus into this world as the light of the world. Jesus came into this world to bear the sin of this world. Jesus described the Lord coming in this way. He said, John said this, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." By his redeeming work and suffering on the cross, Jesus did give us forgiveness. And his resurrection guarantees that we have everlasting life with him. We became God's child in baptism, where we were joined with the kingdom of God. We now live in Christ, and we have a deep love in our hearts for him, and that is the foundation of our thanks today. Because we have been set free from the power of sin, Satan, and death. We have a better way of life than we could ever imagine. We joyfully thank God for what he has done for us and what he knows he has already promised us for all eternity. And today we come together knowing that all the goods and all the possessions that we have are only God's that he has given to us, that all good gifts come from him. And so St. Paul urges us to do in our text today to pray for all people. Now he goes on and actually says this, "Pray for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Now, most of us, when we hear that, it's amazing to us that we are supposed to pray for all people, even those who are in leadership. What's so amazing about this is at this time when he wrote this, there was a king that was really an emperor, actually, who was notorious for his cruelty and for how bad of a leader he was. This was the leader Nero. He was a terrible man and a horrible ruler. He was known for his murderous ways and his strong persecution of the Christians in the world as well. And because the Christians would not engage in emperor worship, he really went after them and killed many of them. Yet Paul realized the need for God's people to pray for the kings and the emperors and all of those in high authority, that they may lead well. This will mean that our lives will be blessed and the work of the church will go forward without hindrance, is really what this means. If they lead well, we'll be free to do what we need to do. And so this day, we also will pray for our leaders. It's hard for many of us because we look at what happens in our political system. And no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you may think, I'm not praying for them. But you know what? God calls us to pray for all leaders and all leadership and for all authority. Because it's important for us to do so that, as it says here, we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, so that the freedoms that we have will continue, that there will be freedom for us to express the worship that we have right here this evening, that we can express Jesus Christ and say him publicly in all of the public squares throughout our country, that we can continue to worship him freely, standing on the values that we own and what we know the Bible tells us, and never shying from that at all. That's why we pray for our leaders, so that they will lead in a way that continues the freedoms of this world. And we do this so that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life. See, this emphasis for our prayers for our nation and for all of those in high positions is something that really we need to be doing, because our freedom is important so that we can freely worship Christ as we are doing this evening. Also, so that we can actually keep ourselves from becoming part of the culture that is out there today. That we are set apart by God as his communion of saints that are here in this world. Therefore, we pray for those in authority that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, and the church can freely carry out the Lord's work and nourish her people with the words and the sacrament as we will receive today. So as we gather for Thanksgiving Day, we say thank you, Jesus, and happy Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving Day has a higher and greater meaning for us as Christians. The words thanksgiving here in this text actually means to have a grateful acknowledgement of the past mercies of God. This leads to our humble and truthful request that we have here this evening. That we have so much which we can thank God for, don't we? He gives us his word, which is the living voice of our Lord right here with us today. It is through the waters and the word of baptism that he brought us into the holy kingdom that we have with him today, being joined as children of God. And it is through the spiritual nourishment that he gives us as a strengthening us for the daily work that he has us to do through his sacrament of the altar right here that we receive in the body and blood of Christ. This is truly where we receive the Lord himself to help us and to strengthen us in the faith each and every day. See, Luther's small catechism actually says this, that he provides what? With all, he provides us, as Luther says, with all that we need to support this body and life. And so today we pause to say, thank you, Lord, because it is not what I provide, it is only what you provide for me that I am able to continue in this life. And we thank God for each and every day that he gives us life to continue the work that he would have us do. See, I can't think of a better thing to do than for us to gather in this sanctuary and pray to God for thanksgiving. I can't help but think through the many years that this congregation has been around of all the prayers that have been said in this congregation that our Lord has heard. I mean, think of all the prayers that have gone up to our Lord, all the things that we've prayed for, all the things that we've prayed about, and we can say thank you, Lord, for the history that you've given here and for all the things that you have done. There is no greater treasure than the body of Christ coming together to pray. And so today we pray, we praise, and we give thanks. We are strengthened in our faith as we pray, but also as we receive his gifts through the Lord's Supper, and remembering that God is the giver of every good gift. See, this house has a distinct purpose. As Christians, we carry our thanksgiving even further. As we confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the giver of all good things, not just here, but everywhere we go tomorrow at Thanksgiving Day. As we share that word with people who may have not heard it before, and as we renew our lives to be about Jesus and all that he has done for us. See, thanksgiving takes practice, though. I mean, I don't know many of us are very, very comfortable or maybe even very great at being thankful. I mean, how many of us actually spend time concentrating on being thankful? It's so easy to be pessimistic and get caught up in all the different things going on in our lives that we forget to actually be thankful. So a number of pastors and I have gathered together and we created this helpful tool that between now and New Year's Day, you can receive a text message every morning to help you be a little bit more thankful. If you'd like, you can just text the word thankful to this number, 51555, and you can take out your phones now and do that. That's fine. I'll give you a few seconds to do it. And what'll happen is that you will receive every morning a little text that'll help you be thankful. Thankful for something that's happening in your life for the day. And what I pray is that all of us would grow in gratitude together during this holiday season. That we would work to understand how grateful we need to be no matter what circumstances we are under, because we know that God has given us everything that we need in Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more that we need. So today, we say thank you to Jesus and happy Thanksgiving. And as we gather this evening, I want to give you a little bit of quiet time to think about the things you are thankful for. To take the little sheets that are there at the center of the pew, pass them down so that everyone has one. And what I'd like to do is, through a few moments of silence here, just give you time to reflect on the things that you are thankful for. Write them down on this piece of paper. Take a moment and be intentional about this. Say a little prayer over it, and then as you come up for communion, you can do this. Place it right here in this box. And what we'll do at the end of service is pray over all of those as well. So right now, just take a few minutes. Contemplate on how grateful you are and what you're thankful for. And be specific on what you want to thank Jesus for this day. Well, on Thanksgiving, as I mentioned, it's traditional for us to gather around a meal. You know, at our house, it's always turkey. It may not be at your place. But it's traditional for the family to gather together. And I can't think of a better place to gather for a meal than right here at his altar. As Jesus invites us as the family of God to come together to receive his body and blood, and to also strengthen us for the work that he would have us do in his kingdom, to reassure us of the forgiveness that he has earned through his blood, his sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection from the grave. And so this evening, he invites us to come to his table. This is a foretaste of the feast that we will have in his kingdom for all eternity. And so today, he calls us to come and receive the blessing that he gives us here, to be reminded of what he has done for us and what he promises is ours for all eternity. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And giving thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. So.